Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a report on the global demonstrations against Monsanto that took place on Saturday and assess the dependence on chemical herbicides and pesticides in American agriculture that is dominated by agribusiness. J.D. Hansen, a senior policy analyst at the Center for Food Safety, joins us to discuss what is happening to our food and who is to blame, and also look into the alarming issue of colony collapse disorder, which has resulted in half of the bees dying off in America last year. Then we'll examine the upcoming elections in Iran, which the supreme leader and his son, the heir apparent Mojtaba Khamenei, appear to have rigged to the point where only the extreme among the extremists are allowed to run. Dr. Trita Parsi, the co-founder and president of the Iranian American Council and author of A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran, joins us to discuss his recent article at the Huffington Post, Iran's March to Naked Dictatorship. Then finally, on Memorial Day, we will speak with Colonel Douglas McGregor, a decorated U.S. Army combat veteran who has testified as an expert witness on national security issues before the House Armed Services Committee and the House Foreign Relations Committee. We will discuss President Obama's declaration of an end to the global war on terror and the lack of accountability for those who led America into its recent disastrous military misadventures. Joining us now is J.D. Hansen, who's a senior policy analyst for the Center for Food Safety, a nonprofit organization that has called for stronger food regulations and an end to an era where food safety regulations has been left in the hands of the corporations producing our food. He works on issues related to pathogens in the food supply and also genetically engineered and cloned animals. Previously, he directed the human genetics policy of the International Center for Technology Assessment and also served as the United Methodist Church's staff director on genetics and bioethic issues. Welcome to Background Briefing, J.D. Hansen. So tell me about what your impressions were of the March Against Monsanto protests were held on Saturday in 52 countries and 436 cities around the world. It didn't seem to get a lot of play in the press, but the extent of it around the world, I think, is impressive in itself, is it not?
Yeah. Well, I think what it's saying is that many people around the world are upset with Monsanto and other chemical companies for a new enclosure of the commons. Monsanto has used its pesticide-promoting plants as a way to also control whether farmers can replant seeds.
Well, there is, of course, this what is called the Monsanto Protection Act that was championed by Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri, the home state of Monsanto, that went into law in the must-pass spending bill that went down a few months ago to keep the government going. And there was an effort in the Senate to repeal it just recently, but it was voted down fairly soundly. Yep. So are people reacting to the unusual political clout of Monsanto? Is that at play here?
Well, they're reacting to the unusual political clout that Monsanto has. They're reacting to the U.S. Supreme Court telling the farmer in the Bowman case that he can't plant seeds that have Monsanto's traits, even if he doesn't buy them from Monsanto. You know, farmers are, you know, farmers and the average person are more and more concerned that these huge companies are controlling every aspect of our food system.
Well, the head of Monsanto has argued that those who oppose what Monsanto does in terms of its seeds and herbicides and its attempts, as it claims, to make food cheaper and more available around the world, they're accusing critics of Monsanto as being elitists.
Well, I'm just coming back from Missouri right now, hanging out with my farmer cousins. And they're anything but elitist, but they've got real concerns about the numbers of their family members that have already died of cancer or who are dying of cancer. And, you know, it's not those of us in the cities that are, I think, are Monsanto's long-term problems. Its long-term problem are some of its customers like my cousins.
So explain that further, J.D. Hansen. Tell me what do your cousins, the farmers in Missouri, attribute their cancers to?
The chemicals they've been using.
Chemicals for what? For pesticides and herbicides?
Pesticides and herbicides. Now, they haven't done a scientific study at it, but they've gone to a lot of funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at my one of my uncle's funerals, there were 400 people there. And they said, well, you know, he was the first one to use those chemicals, and he's the first one of us to die from them. That's a problem. It's a problem both for our country's health. It's a problem for the individual, for the health of farmers, and it's a problem for the ecosystem. One of my cousins has quit planting Monsanto's corn altogether because he thinks it's dangerous to his health and his family's health.
And what about using herbicides and insecticides?
Well, Monsanto's products in the main promote its herbicides. We're not talking about its products being designed genetically to improve yields. We're not talking about its products being designed to, through genetic manipulation, to be drought tolerant. They are designed to resist Monsanto's herbicides so they can be used on them when they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
And you're talking about Roundup, Brian.
We're talking about Roundup, but, you know, Monsanto has an application at the U.S. Department of Agriculture for dicamba, a much nastier herbicide. And the main reasons that they're going for that application is that the Roundup-resistant crops have bred Roundup-resistant weeds. If you spray Roundup on everything for 30 years, the weeds evolve. The only folks around that seem not to believe in evolution have been Monsanto and some people in the far Christian right.
Well, J.D. Hansen, I think that is the big issue, isn't it, here? There's a lot of confusion in these demonstrations between Monsanto and colony collapse disorder that's affecting the bees, where 50% of America's bees died off. The best science that's out there seems to indicate, and it's not by any means conclusive, that colony collapse disorder has something to do with neonicotinoids, which are a class of insecticides, not herbicides like Roundup. But in both cases, both in the case of insecticides and herbicides, evolution does apply, surely. And that's what's happening here. It's just with the same crisis we have with indiscriminate use of antibiotics in humans. You end up basically having, you know, antibiotic-resistant strains of TB, et cetera. And in agriculture, you have these weeds that are resistant to Roundup. And in terms of insecticides, you have to keep making them more toxic in order for them to work. So isn't that the cycle we're in?
Well, that's, we basically, have been trying to substitute chemicals for various kinds of work. You know, my relatives used to do a lot of weeding. Don't have to. If you use herbicide, you save that weeding. So, you know, it doesn't give anything more to the consumer. It, at first, was seen as something that helped the farmer. Farmers are beginning to question that.
And what about your understanding, J.D. Hansen, again, Senior Policy Analyst for the Center for Food Safety, what's your understanding of what's causing the half of the bees to die off in the United States in 2012?
Well, the Center for Food Safety has a legal petition at the Environmental Protection Agency asking it to withdraw its approval of these neonicotinoids, which, while they may not be the only contributing factor, they certainly are a contributing factor such that Europe is looking at withdrawing those already. So we've got a worldwide overuse of chemicals, just like we've had an overuse of antibiotics and an overuse of fertilizers even. So we have a system where we used to rely on the soil, and now we rely on these industrial chemicals without understanding all the other things that we used to rely on.
So how does a citizen and a consumer focus on who to protest against and who are the real villains here? Because it would seem that the colony collapse disorder, that losing half of the bees that pollinate so many of the food, the fruits and vegetables that we eat, that is a absolutely alarming crisis, and you'd think that would be getting everybody's attention. So I'm just looking for some clarity here about who's, you know, it's easy to blame Monsanto for everything, but there's got to be more nuanced reasons here and a more nuanced strategy.
Well, you know, you want to talk about science. You know, Monsanto pushed to make sure that the U.S. Department of Agriculture could not use science to evaluate its genetically modified crops. Yeah, let's have good science. You know, let's have Monsanto and DuPont and Syngenta and Bayer and the other seed companies make their seeds available to independent researchers so they can actually look at, for the first time, not just the potential impacts of them, but actually look at what happens when you grow the seeds. We have a system that puts solidly in control. Basically, the testing of the chemicals is done by the chemical companies, and the non-testing of their environmental effects is done in collusion with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And our organization has won lawsuit after lawsuit against Monsanto and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And because of that success, Monsanto and his friends in Congress got pushed through this rider saying the Department of Agriculture can't spend any money to look at their crops. So let's have Monsanto and the rest of them really do some good science, and that means making all of their data open and transparent. Mr. Obama said we're going to have a more transparent administration. So far, we haven't seen that in chemicals.
And what can be done, though, about colony collapse disorder, which is this alarming die-off of the bees? That would seem...
Well, you know, one of the things folks ought to do is write to the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C., tell them to get off the stick. And, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. Lots of members of Congress are out there. Ask them what they're doing about it.
And what would you suggest we do about it? Because it seems to be a crisis that nobody...
Well, I mean...
Because we don't know exactly what's doing it.
You know, we do know, and even the EPA and its discussion attributes part of the problem to the neonicotinoids noise.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're trying to sort out things in medicine, first thing we do is eliminate things. So the best way to find out whether neonicotinoids were the problem is quit using them.
And that's what's happened in Europe. So presumably there'll be some evidence of whether the bees come back.
Yeah. Well, then our environment's a little different than Europe, so it would be good to have that experiment going on here too.
So is this then the broader issue, I take it, J.D. Hansen, is how American agriculture has changed from the family farm to agribusiness, and that along with agribusiness, agriculture has become corporatized in the sense that farmers, and that includes agribusiness, are now almost completely dependent upon chemical fertilizers, chemical herbicides, and chemical insecticides. And in other words, we have to go completely cold turkey. Is that the only way we can get out of this trajectory?
Well, we're not going completely cold turkey. We've got, you know, a huge number of organic operations in the United States. We have seen an explosion of local farmers markets. So, I mean, we do know how to raise food other ways because we did it for years. What we've gotten, though, with farmers, you know, Monsanto and the other big boys have bought up so many seed companies, it is next to impossible for some farmers to even buy seeds that aren't genetically modified. And then even as their patents run out, these big four seed companies find ways to extend the patents. You know, it used to be farmers save seeds that, you know, that helped them save money. I mean, now they're locked into genetically modified seeds that basically need the agricultural chemicals that Monsanto and Syngenta and DuPont make. It is possible to raise crops other ways, but it's becoming harder and harder for the small farmer too.
And so it's this group of companies, that not just Monsanto, that you're talking about, DuPont and Syngenta. I mean,
and the Justice Department, you know, originally filing an antitrust suit against DuPont for buying up all the cottonseed companies. And here you have, you know, two of the biggest seed companies fighting with each other. And what does the Obama administration do? They somehow don't see one company controlling almost half of the cotton seeds as an antitrust violation, and the Justice Department took a pass on it. I think partly it's, you know, they had hearings, they did all kinds of stuff, and then they did nothing. And they won't even release their discussion of why they did nothing. So we have, frankly, the Obama administration completely in bed with Monsanto.
So just in closing, J.D. Hansen, if we went cold turkey and went back to the way we used to farm, and you're saying that, you know, organic farmers are already doing that, isn't it possible, given the nature of evolution, that there are these incredibly insecticide-resistant strains out there, just as we talked about with antibiotics that are affecting human health, that are affecting plant health and creating sort of super bugs and super weeds? Is that going to be the legacy of chemical farming?
We don't know. But, you know, as we're looking at things to fund in the farm bill, you know, let's quit subsidizing 40% of corn going into ethanol and use some of that money that we would use subsidizing these mega crop operations to figure out how to do it a better way, a smarter way. You know, right now, people say, "Oh, we're not going to be able to feed the world if we don't have all the ethanol produced from corn." It doesn't make sense. When you actually know what we're doing on our land, it makes even less sense. I'm out here in northern Missouri, and we've got folks that are plowing up hillsides that shouldn't be plowed up because we get federal subsidies for them to grow a crop somewhere that they shouldn't. That's not smart long term. And it's not even smart short-term.
But just to address the notion of the superbugs and the superweeds, is that something that we have to be concerned about?
Well, we have to be concerned about the same way we are with antibiotics in food animals. Yes, but, you know, you don't solve the problem by keeping doing more of the same.
Well, that much is pretty clear, and I thank you very much for joining us here today, J.D. Hansen.
Okay, thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with J.D. Hansen, who's a senior policy analyst for the Center for Food Safety, a nonprofit organization that has called for stronger food regulations and an end to an era where food safety regulations have been left in the hands of the corporations producing our food. He works on issues related to pathogens in the food supply and also genetically engineered and cloned animals. Previously, he directed the human genetics policy of the International Center for Technology Assessment and also served as the United Methodist Church's staff director on genetics and bioethics issues. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the upcoming elections in Iran.
Well, they called me once and they called me twice. Third time they called me was cold as ice. They say, get to the table on time. Better make up your mind.